Morning, good to see everyone here today. Appreciate you choosing to worship instead of being absent and enjoying the holiday season. Big day today, a big day for our country, our nation, really the world. Independence Day, as it's called and referred to in America, and there are other Independence Days throughout the world, but this one is special to us. I know you have some memories of Independence Day yourself. Everybody growing up and on through the years, the memories, the experiences that you have, it sticks with you. Not just the hot dogs and the hamburgers, but the family gatherings, the love that we share for family and friends, time to be together, and the special time to just set aside work and cares of this world and to be together. Much like today, as we assemble in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His Father, God Almighty, there in our presence, we're here as family, as Christians, the children of God. And isn't it good to be here and together in this quiet, peaceable place? And we wish it would ever be so, but there are places in this world and not that we know of right now in this country that there might be, before too long, places where we're not welcome to assemble in God's presence, even in our own country. Freedoms are being taken away from Americans little by little. It's kind of like Brother Tim says about that frog when you're boiling him. He doesn't really feel it. Gradually gets that heat built up until he's boiled. Nothing he could do about it then. We need to be careful. We need to be watchful. We need to be ready. Freedom from sin is the greatest freedom that we'll ever experience and enjoy. The verse says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There's only one thing that'll truly make us free, in the best sense of the word, spiritually, and prepare us eternally for that reward in heaven. And that is the truth of God's word and obedience to it. Just knowing it will not be enough. We've got to believe it, obey it, and practice it. We see an assembly here of the colonial delegates to the assembly that ended basically with the signing of the Declaration of Independence on July the 4th. I always want to say the 6th because that's my anniversary. July the 4th, 1776. Long time ago. A very, very long time ago. I want to read you just a few things about this period. As of today, there's 245 of these annual remembrances, Independence Day, in our history, and the struggle to become free of the rule of Great Britain and all of the things that were being imposed on the colonists here in America before there wasn't a United States of America. The struggle for independence was long, bloody, and hard, and although it began in earnest in April of 1775, it really did not end, if you want to say it ended at this time. The peace treaty was not signed until September the 3rd, 1783, and then it was not even effective until May the 12th, 1784. This is from the time, really it had been coming a long time before, but April, I think it was the 19th, 1775, when the British came to take the arms, and powder and guns and things from the militia in Massachusetts. April 1775 to May 1784. That's a long time. That's a long, bloody war. And there were a lot of people that died as a result of that war. Declaring independence was the easy part. As Benjamin Franklin said, we must indeed all hang together, or most assuredly we shall all hang separately. I read a little bit of the history of this. You may have read more and learned more, but I don't see where any of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence actually were hung, put to death. But their lives were shattered. They had to run. They had to hide. They lost family members. They lost their own health. Moving sometimes five. I know one individual, don't remember his name, moved five different times within just a period of a few months just to keep from being captured. Can you imagine living in a condition there where you're in your own country, or what you think is your own country, what you want to be your own country, among your own countrymen, yet you don't know who is for you and who is against you many times, and you don't know if there are spies there. You don't know someone will turn you in. It was a very troubling, very difficult time. Many of these, and most of them, actually lost all that they owned in this world's goods and things. Some of them made it back up after the war, but it was a terrible time. There was only one man of the original colonial delegates, from my reading, that refused to sign the Declaration of Independence. And you may be and feel hard toward that individual, thinking, why in the world would he not sign it? He understood, along with the 56 that did sign it, that they might as well be signing a death warrant, because they were enemy number one on the king's enemy list then. I doubt many of our current school children have ever even heard of the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. They don't teach history much anymore. They don't want to make a point that America is special. America has sacrificed. American blood had been shed because we wanted to be independent. As we live our quiet, comfortable lives today, we need to remember all those who have fought and died so that we have the freedom we enjoy today. And always remember, freedom is not free, it's not guaranteed, and once it's gone, it's very hard to get it back. And ever since the Declaration of Independence was declared, and even before, men and women in this nation, and even foreigners that came to this nation, weren't yet citizens. Many fought and died for this country, and we need to remember their sacrifice. The Statue of Liberty. Have you seen it? I know several of you have. I've been there. I've never been up on it like some have, or on the island. Didn't y'all go to the island or whatever? Yeah. And actually were able to visit it. Symbol of liberty throughout the world. Liberty. Freedom from oppression. Freedom from tyrants. A symbol of all that makes America great as a nation. The bravery, the courage, the sacrifices Americans have made. Yes, God has blessed America from sea to shining sea as a nation. You've got to say that there has been a lot of things that have happened fortuitously, that other than through the providence of God would not have turned out the way that they did, and this country the way that it did. Until of late, I will say, because of so many things that are so contrary to God's will in this nation, and I hope and pray that we can change that in the years to come. July 4th was not a federal holiday until 1941, but it was celebrated from the beginning. There's a Liberty Bell in Philadelphia cracked when they got it there, recast two times. I did want to say what the inscription on the Liberty Bell was. Gives you a little bit of an insight in when it happened. The Liberty Bell, previously called the State House Bell of Old State House Bell, is an iconic symbol of American independence located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Once placed in the steeple of the Pennsylvania State House, the bell today is located across the street in the Liberty Bell Center in Independence National Historical Park. The bell was commissioned in 1752 by the Pennsylvania Provincial Assembly from the London firm of Lester and Pack, and was cast with the lettering, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof," which was a biblical reference from the book of Leviticus. Yes, this country began with ideals of being a God-approved nation, not a chosen people like Israel, not the nation of Israel, but at least founded upon principles that God incorporated into His word that He wanted all men to live by. Freedom from sin. John 1 and 2, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." That's the only way we get freedom from sin. And the only reason is because Jesus Christ went to the cross, took your sins and my sins on himself, and died, gave his life, shed his blood, that we through obedience to his will might be saved and go to heaven one day. Almost 2,000 years ago now, our Lord and Savior made it possible for all men everywhere to be free from sin. All men were oppressed in this world with the oppression of sin, that there's nothing greater. You can be oppressed by a lot of things, but when you're burdened down by sin, it's something different. It's something of great magnitude. It's something that causes many people to commit suicide, to do all sorts of things, to live ungodly lives, to give up on life itself because they feel like they cannot overcome sin. And we cannot on our own, but with God's help, we can. As God the Son, he knew what he was facing in this world, yet he willingly and obediently followed his Father's instructions and plan. As a child, he was hunted down by a vicious King Herod to be killed so he would not be a threat to Herod's throne. So it started out bad for the Lord. He had a difficult time. As he began his earthly ministry, the Jewish religious leaders of the day sought his life because he threatened their authority by challenging their traditions that were contrary to God's law. He would tell them, "O generation of vipers, ye hypocrites." He didn't pull any punches. They didn't like that. He was too independent to suit them, and he stood up to them. Spiritual warfare was inevitable, and there's a spiritual warfare going on today, and that warfare is Satan as the leader leading people away from the truth of God's word, and the result is denominations and all sorts of beliefs and thoughts and practices that are foreign to and against God's law. In the end, even his closest disciples and friends forsook him. Now that had to be the most unkind cut of all, as the poets would say, because it's one thing for people who don't really know you, don't care about you, you really don't have a relationship with or whatever, to turn away from you and abandon you, forsake you. But when your dearest friends, closest associates do that, it has to hurt. It has to hurt, and I'm sure that it did. freedom from sin. Had a choice. Pilate had a choice, didn't he? All right, what do you Jews want? I'll give you Barabbas. He's, you know, he's a pretty bad guy. Yeah, whatever, I'll release him. It's Jesus. I find no fault in him. You know, what's the deal? I'll release Jesus, not Barabbas. You know, no. They wouldn't have it any other way. Had to have Barabbas. So the Jewish leaders used the Romans to kill Jesus. But as Jesus said to Pilate when he was questioning him there about what was going to happen and what his people and nation were accusing him of and what they had and what he had the power to do, either to give him life or take it away. What did Jesus say in John 19:11? Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Who is that? The Jews. The Jews made this deal up to take to the Romans because the Romans wouldn't allow the Jews to put someone to death. So I'll let Rome do it, and they did. But ultimately, as Jesus said, it was on the Jews. But don't take too much comfort in that, because it's on you and me too. Because the reason Jesus went to that cross is because there was sin in the world, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there had to be a price paid, and no one could pay that price except Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the sinless Son of God. So he took your sins and my sins on him, and he died on the cross, shed his blood, because that's the only thing that will wash away sin, the blood of Jesus Christ, as we're taught in his word. The darkest day of human existence brought about the most glorious day of human existence when our Lord and Savior was resurrected. Romans 8:35, we read, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nah, nobody can separate you from Christ if you're in Christ, if you've obeyed the gospel, if you're a faithful child of his, except yourself. You can take yourself out of that safe place, out of the church, out of the protected group that God will protect and keep Satan away from you to the degree that he will not take your soul. He cannot send you to hell. The devil cannot make you do anything that you are not willing to do. As long as you are willing to follow the word of God and be faithful and steadfast, God will see us through in everything that we attempt to do in life that is godly and wholesome. And when we follow this word, I don't know of anybody who has ever really been a Christian, to my knowledge, and been faithful and tried their very best to be faithful, how that they have ever really failed. They may have a lot of problems in their life. We're not promised a rose garden. You know, we're not promised that we're going to have everything in the world that we want. We are promised that if we'll be faithful unto death, we'll have a crown of righteousness. We'll live forever in heaven one day. But we're the only ones that can separate ourselves from the love of God. Freedom from sin. Today, in the New Testament time, the Lord's church was established on the first Pentecost following his resurrection, as we can read in Acts 2. God's plan was revealed. The Old Testament was fulfilled. The New Testament became the spiritual law for all men to receive in order to be saved today. Many faithful Christians have given their lives for the cause of Christ since that day. And I'm not talking about the Crusades. There were things that have been done in the name of God over history that were wrong in God's sight. What are we told in His Word? We're not fighting a carnal warfare, are we? We're fighting a spiritual warfare. A warfare against spiritual wickedness in high places. And what does that mean? It can even be as a result of our own government, leaders, authority, and much of it is today. And hopefully, won't be that way for long, or it won't get worse, but we don't know. We don't know what kind of laws or interpretations of laws that are going to be made from this point forward before the Lord returns or before we die that will make it difficult for Christians to live. But every day, you know, that we live as Christians is a day that we battle Satan and his influence in this world in order to remain faithful unto death. And if we'll do that, put our armor on every day, the whole armor of God, and we'll get up and we'll have the attitude, I'm going to win this battle today, and I will win the war with God's help. And I will be in heaven one day with the Lord, with the heavenly host, with the saved of all the ages. And have that attitude no matter what happens. This is just one battle today. I may lose today. I may have a real hard time today, whatever. Tomorrow's another day, another battle. If we lose a battle every now and then, but we win the war, we've won. And that's what we have to think about. Getting up one more time than we fell down. Staying upright, faithful, and share the gospel with as many people as we can share it with, and hopefully bring some to Christ. But God has done His part so that we can be free from sin. The decision to follow and obey Jesus and His New Testament will lead to everlasting life. It won't be something just day-to-day, temporary, whatever else. And it won't be through until we run the complete race, and we don't get through running that race until we die or the Lord returns. So we have to keep getting up every day, fighting and running that race. And when we do, it'll be worth it all one day when we find ourselves in heaven. The Lord's invitation, His plan for salvation is a very simple plan. People want to make it difficult, or they want to even oversimplify it from what it is. They want to say, all you got to do is believe. That's one of the devil's greatest lies, but he's got a lot of people believing that, and he's got a lot of people following him, even though they may be sitting in benches in assemblies just like you're seeing right here with a name on the outside of it that may be one of these denominational names or whatever. And sorry to say, it may be actually what once used to be a faithful church of Christ that has gone apostate and are no longer following the laws that God gave us for our worship and our lives today. We've got to hear the word. If we're unwilling to listen, I hear people say, I don't want to know that. If you tell me that, then I'm going to be held accountable for that. No, that's not the way it works. We're accountable before you hear a word of it. We're lost. We're sinners. The only way we'll ever be saved is to hear the word and obey it. We've got to believe it. That means not just say, okay, I've heard it. We've got to put it into our mind, our hearts, and say, I believe what God has told me in this Bible, in the Word, and I will, to the very best of my ability, follow that Word. We've got to repent of sin. That's the hard part, I've said before many times. Hardest commandment. Repent. Got to. Have to. Can't just keep on keeping on once we think we've been saved, because until we repent, we're not saved. We're lost. Every time we're in sin, at the only sin that will keep us out of heaven, you know, is the one that we did not repent of, that we did not do what God said we must do. If we sin and we repent of that sin and ask God's forgiveness, we're forgiven of that sin. God blots that out. He doesn't remember that anymore. That sin didn't happen as far as God is concerned. And we need to pick ourselves up and say, I'm not going to follow that sin anymore. I'm not going to be guilty of that sin. I'm not going to do those things anymore. I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to be a faithful child of God. We need to confess Christ as the Son of God because He is, and He is the only way, and there's no other name given among men, you know, that we may get to heaven, we may come to the Father, that we may be saved than the name of Jesus Christ in obedience to His will. It's the only way. No man cometh to the Father except by me. We can't get there, not through Buddha, not through Muhammad, not through any of the false religions today. And there are a lot of them, Hindu, all many, many more times the numbers than there are Christian numbers, you know. Even when you count Christendom, those that are not actually Christians because they're not following the word as God would have us to as Christians. We've got to confess Jesus Christ if we want to hear Him confess us before His Father in heaven. We must be baptized because until we're baptized, we don't come into contact with that blood that He shed that washes away our sins. It can't wash away our sins until we go down into that grave, that watery grave, and come into contact with it through baptism, and that way we come up that new creature. You don't baptize dead people. People aren't saved. I mean, alive people. You baptize dead people. People that are alive, you know, that have been saved, what need do they have of being baptized? Because that's where you come into contact with the blood and that your sins are washed away. So don't fall for the devil's lie that there's nothing to baptism. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. If you want to be saved, you have to do everything leading up to that that we just talked about, and you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. After this, the Lord will add us to His church, His body, the kingdom, what He's going to deliver to the Father, all the faithful of all the ages. One day, after judgment, He's going to deliver that faithful group, His church, the kingdom, to the Father. And He does the adding, He does the subtracting. So when you're added to the Lord's church, you don't get added to a denomination. You get added to the Lord's church. If you get added to a denomination, if they vote on you or whatever else, and you're in, means nothing when you come to salvation. The Lord did not die for that denomination. He died for His church and shed His blood. And only those that are in His church receive those spiritual blessings, the most and greatest of which is salvation. And then, certainly we must be faithful unto death. And every time, because we will sin from time to time, that we do sin, even as Christians, we will sin from time to time, we need to make it right. We need to repent of that sin, confess that sin, and determine that we're through with that sin. We're not going to sin anymore. And every time, as the Lord said to Peter, how many times shall I forgive my brother if he sinned against me? Seven times? What did the Lord say? I say not unto thee seven times, but 70 times seven. The Lord didn't mean only 490 times, and after that you've used up all your green stamps. You know, you're not going to be able to get forgiven anymore. The Lord meant that when someone truly comes to Him in a penitent attitude and heart, asking forgiveness, confessing that sin, and being willing to change their life so they'll not sin that sin or any sin again, He will forgive us every time, anytime, as many times as it requires. We need to get up. We need to, whenever we sin, we need to get up. We need to repent of that sin, confess that sin, and start back to work, go back to work, being a faithful child of God. If you're subject to the gospel, and all men are, whether they admit it or not, if you are not a child of God and you need to obey the gospel, or if you are a child of God and you've fallen away and you're not faithful any longer, you need to repent of that and come back. We ask you to come at this time as we stand and sing this song for our encouragement.